radio.
Good morning, it's Classic Hits 4CA. My next guest, International Emmy Award-winning artist. She's been nominated for Grammys and had numerous smash hits worldwide. Interestingly, she was brought up in a very religious family in the US where her and her three brothers were not even allowed to listen to pop or rock music, even go to the movies. So, unsurprisingly, as a teenager, she ran away from home at 15 years of age. Then, thankfully, she ran away to Australia back in 2012. Good morning to Tony Childs. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. Aloha, everyone.
it's an amazing story. Does it sound surreal that you ran away from home at 15 and then you've run away to Australia? You seem like you keep running, but maybe you found your place after all.
I have. I'm a permanent resident now, and I'm applying for my citizenship.
Is that right? And look,
That's right.
We'll come to Australia and New Zealand, and I guess the pull to coming to there in due course. But tell me about those early years. I mean, that would have been a real challenge for you, the household that you were brought up in. And of course, I believe it was actually going to a Pink Floyd concert that sold you, and you decided it was time to become a blues musician.
Well, no, I never had my eyes on being a blues musician. I've always been a writer. So, by the time I was 14, I'd written a play and two plays and a musical, a cappella, because I didn't know how to play an instrument.
Is that right?
But my first experience ever singing with musicians was in Huntington Beach, and this is on my journeys there while I was a little runaway kid. A bunch of artisans took me in. They had a shop right, not even a block from the beach. Mm. And they were surfboard shaper, a jeweler, a cobbler. And
wow.
Every Sunday they would have an open mic kind of a thing, right? A jam. And they were playing the blues and things like that. And I was just like a kid in coveralls, very no makeup, very androgynous. And once they started playing that power of that music, I was like, I want to get up there. And so they kept edging me to the back, right? And then finally, to their chagrin, they were like, okay, let's let her sing. And I didn't really know any of the songs that they were doing, but I heard this one guy go, let's do a shuffle in A. And when they did a blue shuffle in A, I was like, I could do that. So they let me up, and all the, pretty much the people that were hanging out, there weren't that many people left, maybe about 20 people left or something that were just milling around other than the band. And they go, so what do you want to do? And I said, I want to do a blues shuffle in A. And then they were like, okay, what tempo? And I was just like, oh dear. And just kind of tapped my foot.
Yeah.
And then they did it and they gave me that microphone. Now you have to understand, I had never sang the blues before, nothing.
Yeah.
And then my soul just let it rip, because also the guys were being quite snide to me and kind of like,
sure,
just like, get out of my way and not like, what are you doing here? And so there was a little bit of like, I want to let them have it kind of a thing, even though I didn't know what I was doing. But I don't know what I sang. I don't know, but I just let my whole little soul just like freaking do it. And the people who were there stopped what they were doing. They're talking, they're chatting and all of that. And then they came and rushed our little space. When it stopped, they were applauding. They were like, who the hell are you?
Amazing.
Look at that voice. You sound like an 80-year-old black woman. Oh, my God. And I was hooked. And I was like, I could just do it.
Yeah.
And that experience then kind of set a tone for me to begin to want to really write music and follow that dream.
I gather you didn't go straight home and tell your parents about it. Did you reconcile with your parents at all, after leaving at 15?
Oh, yes, I did.
That's a truly amazing story, though. And obviously, your whole world opened up from that point onwards. And it's been incredible, to check out your journey. And I guess that pull of Australia and New Zealand, you've been so popular all around the world, particularly in South Africa, also right throughout the United States, through Europe and all that type of thing. But particularly Australia and New Zealand, there's been a real connection for you with the people and, of course, personally for you to come here and spend time as well.
Yeah, there has been. I think that there were some songs that really, really, I had no idea until I started touring again in 2008. And people were wanting, I gotta go now. I had no idea how that really hit a nerve here. And I guess we have a similar emotional landscape, you know, that my music connected in such a way.
This man I married is buried deep, and the more I try to wake him, the more he sleeps.
It's 8:46, 4CA. I've got to go now. What a great song. And my special guest in the breakfast show this morning, it's Tony Childs. Now, Tony, the fact that that song was such a big hit here in Australia and in New Zealand was really a bit of a surprise.
I'm just so grateful. You know, you don't know when you're writing music, the effect it will have on people. It's your journey and you're telling stories. And, you know, that song wasn't my personal story and almost didn't make it on that album, House of Hope. But what was true about it was I realized I had an addiction to pain and shame, and there was a cycle of a pattern that I could recognize. This story turns out to be, was the story and is a story for a lot of men and women in the world.
Is it sad for you that, you know, all those years ago, and that was, you know, that was a big hit here in Australia. I'm old enough to remember playing it on the radio many, many years ago myself. But wow, you know, not a lot has changed for so many women. You know, that must be a bit of a sad reflection for you, though.
Well, I think change is slow. And when you think about the brutality of history, I mean, really, that our families actually made it through and how they made it through, whether they got super quiet and got super small and invisible, or whether they became absolute brutes. You know, it's not been easy for a lot of people, because the way that people have responded to each other emotionally, or how they deal with stress, or how they saw what happened in their families, how their fathers did it, or how their mothers did it, all these different things, sure, to kind of take them off. And then we have to unfurl it off so we can emerge, you know, more whole, let's say. And every generation does that, but I think it's just a slow process.
Undoubtedly. Just look what's been happening over the last couple of weeks. Let's talk about the show that is coming to town. And of course, as always, conservation and looking after the Great Barrier Reef, one of the real focuses of this show coming up, Tony.
All the money that we make from this show is going to highlight the work that Great Barrier Reef Legacy is doing, and to raise money, but giving people a chance to actually adopt a coral species. There's a coral bank that Great Barrier Reef Legacy, it's a very innovative thing to do to protect and restore the reef from these bleaching events that are happening. And I'm super excited about it.
And I know this is a project that you've been working on for quite a few years. So that's amazing to see that it's coming together, and a great opportunity to actually check you out live in Cairns very, very shortly. Saturday, May 1st at the Tanks here in town, the Tony Childs Retrospective, 30-year celebration, of course, of the Albin Union. You're in Katherine in the Northern Territory this morning, so I better let you go. But look, it's been great to talk to you, and I'm really impressed with that story about the young 15-year-old and the amazing story ever since. Tony Childs, you have a wonderful day, and we'll catch up in the Northern Territory, if not Cairns, okay?
Okay, thank you. Cairns are